This is a seller die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? Where are we? We're in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's raining, but it's 52. Great day for sell or die. We are joined today by the great Jerry Eisenhower, who spells it a little bit different than the other Eisenhowers, but still has some family connection there. Is that true, sir?
Actually true. Dwight D. Eisenhower is my eighth cousin.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Realistically, it's spelled differently. Found that out because I met his granddaughter one day in Amsterdam.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow. That's
and then traced it through the family tree and found out my family immigrated to North Carolina back around the first part of the 20th century. But yes, the Dwight D. Eisenhower.
You have completely lost your southern accent.
Yeah, I could never tell.
I still speak Pennsylvania and Yankee a lot.
Yeah, you know. Don't kid yourself.
We should tell everyone who Jerry is. Jerry Eisenhower is a speaker, coach, consultant, and trainer specializing in the blue-collar home services industry across America.
And how do you differentiate blue-collar in the home from white-collar in the home? You mean an insurance guy comes and he's white-collar?
No, what you would be, when we refer to a blue-collar, we're talking about a worker, a technician as a rule. In fact, I'm writing a book right now.
A plumber, electrician.
Plumbers, electricians, carpet cleaners, anyone that you would hire to come into your home to work on something and be maintenance. That's a blue-collar home service maintenance contractor versus an insurance adjuster. He was sent in by an insurance company. He's a detective. So it's kind of a difference.
Yeah.
We're people that you call to do a service for you.
And so how did you get into this?
Back about 1982, I read an article in Mother Earth News. And Mother Earth News published this great article about being a chimney sweep. And that's my background. So become a chimney sweep. And I bought my chimney sweeping kit, complete with top hat, for $14.99, and unleashed myself on the world, not knowing anything about it. For over the coming years, I got involved with trade associations and became president of national associations, educational foundations, traveled to Europe and studied in 17 European countries, chimney sweeping, believe it or not. And then from that point, in 2010, I don't know, do you guys know there was a recession in this country in 2010?
Really?
No.
Yeah. A lot of times people don't know this, but in 2010.
Wait, people don't know that?
Sometimes they don't.
Yeah. Huh.
Do you realize the other day that somebody said on the internet that there had been more Super Bowls and the Super Bowl had been in existence because we had had less presents than we had Super Bowls? So you've got to understand.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that don't understand.
Yeah.
Got it. Not our listeners, though. Our seller diehards.
Yeah, we're going on. Very
they know what's going on.
They're getting
off the plane right now from their Rhodes Scholarship studies.
So in 2010, I got my butt kicked. The bank called me, notified me one day, says, we want all the money back, and you got 5 days to give us every dime back that you got out. And in 2010, it's kind of hard to get a banker to even turn your phone call that day.
Yeah.
So they said, in 5 days, we're going to start taking everything away. So I lost 3 businesses, I lost one of my homes, I had 2, and lost everything, had to start over. So a guy told me, he said, you know, you need to become a coach and become a consultant and do these kind of things. And I'm looking at him and said, what's a coach? We talk about coach. So he explained it to me. He's one of my mentors in life. It's in my book, Chaos to Reinvention. Kind of tells you what I call the magic moment. But it was a realization. So I entered in the coaching industry. And when I entered in, that was where my relationship with Jeffrey started a little bit after that. Because the thing was, I could tell people how great I was. But on the other side of the coin, I needed some type of accreditation or something.
Mm-hmm.
And what I also saw was there was a weakness in how to sell. So, Jeffrey, don't get upset about this. I live in Charlotte. I never heard of this guy. I had never heard of him, but I had
That's okay. Some people didn't hear that there was a recession.
That's so it. So you're understanding this. Now. Everybody don't know Jeffrey, okay? So, but anyway, from there, what happened was I figured out that one of the big things that the people I was working with needed to understand was how to sell better. Mm-hmm. So I had a guy and his wife came to my house one night, and we were on a social basis, and he worked for a tire distributor. And what he did, he told us about, he found out what I did, and he said, well, we just had this guy called Gittimer that did our thing. And really, and I'm over here, who the hell, who's Gittimer? Never heard of him. So the next thing happened was Jeffrey was launching a certification program about this time, called it Certified Advisors. And somebody told me, and I had to scrape together because things were hard in those days. Mm-hmm. Okay? As an example, his people wanted a credit card. I ain't got a credit card to pay for this at this point that can do this. I said, I got to pay by check. So I got to know Jeffrey, went through the first certification that you did. I think there was 94 of us in there. And I saw this, and it's like, okay. And I picked up a lot of sales tactics from him now. And so we kept our relationship going. I'm under his banner. I'm a Gittimer certified trainer or advisor, whatever we're doing. I get certified by a lot of people now. But still, it's like I promote Jeffrey's stuff because it's how people can learn to sell to other people. This is what I learned out. It was all about the approach going to people. So he kind of changed my presentations and educating others from getting to know him. Now, he's kind of hard to get, like, he doesn't understand good Italian food here in Charlotte. He thinks that restaurants don't serve good Italian food. I love the Italian food here. So we don't agree 100%, but the wisdom I got from him was phenomenal. And I'm certified and trained under other people. And I was with another coach yesterday, and I'm heading to Phoenix to a meeting in the next couple of days. But Jeffrey's training in 2010 really affected me deeply because it gave me tools that I could share with others.
That's great.
Thank you.
How's that for a testimonial?
Thank you very, Jeffrey. Very kind. Really, well, it was really my pleasure. Great. And we have stayed in touch, stayed friends, and watched his business grow.
And we run into each other at restaurants. We were at the Cajun Queen. Both of us go to Cajun Queen. So one day I come in, and there's Jeffrey in the corner holding court.
Of our restaurant.
And I walk in, and that's where you met my wife at that night.
That's so funny.
So always, I keep my eyes open every time I go eat. It's like, hey, maybe we're
You never know. You never know.
We are there quite often.
It's one of the restaurants. I don't own the Cajun Queen, but I control it.
Yep. Tim is our best friend.
Yeah. So the challenge that you have now, you're known in your industry as one of the kings, or maybe the king of the chimney sweep industry. Mm-hmm. You've been all over the world to sweep other people's chimney and get sooted on.
Yes.
One of the reasons that your guys wear these hats is because shit falls on your head.
Well, actually, the top hat came more from, that was the mark of the master sweep. If you read the history of chimney sweeping, there's actually a bad side to chimney sweeping, which is back in the 1700s and 1800s, they used climbing boys. So what they did was they bought orphans, and they bought people's kids. And the chimney master put these kids to work at 8, 10, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old.
Climbing up the chimney.
Inside. So what they did, and if you've ever heard the, term light a fire under your ass?
Yeah.
That came from the chimney master because if the climbing boy got stuck, he started the fire under the, and many children died. And that's one of the bad things about this industry looking back. Many children died, and there was actually, it was part of the change in the English culture to stop using children for child labor like we had in this country.
That's interesting. Tell me about going into somebody's home and cleaning their chimney.
Okay, well, number one, we don't clean chimneys, we sweep chimneys.
Gotcha.
Okay, so it's all in the terminology and all that.
Okay, I got
But what you're doing is, the reason a consumer would call could be from a preventative measure, or maybe they're smelling smoke in their homes, or other things. And here's what's going on. The majority of chimneys that are swept and inspected, the vast number have problems. So what a service call is, or a chimney sweeping, or what any technician is doing, and this is where the sales part comes in, your customer is auditioning you for the job that they really need done.
They got a cracked chimney, or they need more insulation, or whatever the circumstances
Correct. Are. It's just like an HVAC contractor or a plumber or anything else. They may come out to to fix this problem, but more than likely, we all got problems in our homes, so it's up to them to build the – this is what I learned from you. A technician has got to build trust with that customer from the moment they knock on the door, in fact, leading up to it. When they knock on the door and they meet the customer, they start building the relationship that's based on the trust. And what I commonly share is your sale was made in the first 90 seconds of meeting that customer. Mm-hmm. It's not when you're presenting it. If they bought you,
They buy the gig.
Right. Oh, yeah. And this is where many technicians make a mistake.
So tell me about some of the unique things that are done. You're going into somebody's house to sweep their chimney.
Okay.
They've called you out of a Google thing, Craigslist, whatever.
Okay.
Because they don't use the phone book anymore.
Correct.
And you show up. Do you show up? Does the chimney sweep show up in the top hat and the uniform, or that sometimes they don't?
Very seldom are you going to see an American chimney sweep show up at a house with a top hat and tails. Very seldom are you going to see a European chimney sweep actually show up at the house. That is more of a dress type. The only, like, I have top hats and tails in European chimney sweep uniforms. Mm-hmm. The only time I wear it, believe it or not, is at a chimney sweep funeral. And we, when someone dies, we will honor that person.
Wow.
So it's a very tight-knit group. So a lot of times if you see a chimney sweep die, and at his funeral, a lot of the people he knew that are in the industry, we will wear our top hats and our European different types.
I lived in rural Indiana for 4 years, and we had four fireplaces in the house. And the first thing I did was find a chimney sweep and have him come out and make sure that everything was exactly right. And he had a top hat on.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't, I said, "You're wearing a top hat, right?" And he goes, "Yeah."
Well, at the time, in the early 80s, that was a marketing thing. Okay. So we wore top hats and it was very common. And where's your top hat and all that? But as we've evolved, and I used to go to meetings and everybody's sitting around and we got our tails on and our top hats and our red scarves. But that's basically evolved that you see a lot of business dress. So today, trying to present a little more of a professional image, the uniform, the truck, all the marketing and the branding. Top hats, you may see it in logos, or you'll see it like on here. That's a little Chucky's. So you'll see top hats. In fact, I've got a client that worked with before that he has a fabrication division, calls it Top Hat Manufacturing. So the top hat is there, but it's more of a marketing type thing. You will see some chimney sweeps that will swear and still use the top hat, but is it going to market in the future? Is it really marketing what needs to be done, which is to make cleaner air in homes, a cleaner environment? You know, it's amazing how many people voted in the last election and their main thrust in the vote was the environment. So that's a lot of what European sweeps have done and what American sweeps are getting to. How do we benefit the environment? How do we cut the use of natural resources?
Well, Europeans, a lot of them, their homes are so old that they have coal in those fireplaces rather than wood.
Great. Yeah.
So I want to go back to your story for a minute and really expand on it. In 2010, it seems like you lost almost everything.
My income in the year 2010 was less than $5,100 for the year. And before that, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was a millionaire. Mm-hmm.
How did you survive? I mean, what did you do? What did you tell yourself?
It was hard because the first thing is you're a failure in yourself, okay? And you are a failure because if I look back to the 20 years prior to that, I could have prevented this. But what was happening at that time, money was easy from banks. If I need another $100,000, wasn't a problem, just give a call and the bank did it. Mm-hmm. But then as the federal government took control of banking, all of a sudden, the bank started calling loans, and they called mine, and they said, "Hey, I'll give you the numbers." They wanted $1.3 million, and I had to come up with
in
5 days.
Wow!
And that was in 2010, and the loan packages, it could take you 6 to 9 months. So what happened at that point is I was completely destitute. I couldn't afford a pair of tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was bad. They took my cars, one of my homes. Everything. I had two homes for that.
How did you rebuild?
There was I had a guy that I helped in 1987, and his name is John Meredith, and he was introducing into the chimney sweep industry a new product line, a water repellent, okay, called Chimney Saver. So I recognized that John had the right stuff, and I was strong enough in the industry that I got John into speaking gigs and other ways where he could tell his story. Well, my world's falling apart at this point. I mean, if you can imagine that all of a sudden everything you've worked for it's gone. Your credit cards are worthless. Your bank accounts are now held up. You're down. When you, I had to file personal bankruptcy. And when you file personal bankruptcy, you can only have $10,000 in assets in your home and your furnishings. Okay, if you ever go through this, I mean, luckily, my wife and myself have a premarital agreement. So when I filed for personal bankruptcy, she didn't have to go through it. But I'm going through all the, I mean, it's, let's face it. What about tomorrow, Jeffrey? How would you feel if all of a sudden everything was gone? I mean, it's just gone.
Yeah.
That's where I was. So I was in Hartford, Connecticut, and I have been, and the association I have been in for a number of years, been president of, they said, are you coming to this banquet? And I said, no, I can't. I'm just not going to do it. And they did a couple things, and finally my wife said, you really need to go. And they gave me a Lifetime Achievement Award there.
Wow.
It's only been awarded twice in the history of the National Chimney Sweep.
Way to go.
So now I'm floating on top of the world. And John Meredith, I held back in 1987, and that's what, you know, I've got a memory, so I remember who helped you. So John, once I want to have breakfast with you in the morning. And John said, Jerry, you got a lot to offer these guys. They need you. And it was like, if you look in the book, my book, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I call a magic moment. All of a sudden, you got a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got no funding. And what I learned from this was how to build a business with no money.
Mm-hmm.
And how did I do it? Through social media. Okay, you got to get out. And one of the things I heard about Jeffrey one time, you said this when we were in training, Jeffrey, which is I work my butt off. And that's what I did. I got up every morning and I worked my butt off. And I started promoting Out Value. But again, I got to learn how to do this. Okay, so what I did then was the first certification I went through as a coach was yours, and it was learning to be a sales coach, okay, and learning your methods because, you know, your methods, let's get real, they're things that you've learned that you've shared with others, okay?
When you things that I looked at and said, I think there's slightly a better way, or things that I looked at and then went to New York City and had to alter in order to be able to thrive in that marketplace, which is not easy to do, because like Charlotte's like Happy Valley, and New York City is like hell.
What you did was you developed the brand of Jeffrey, and this is where so many people made a mistake. Now, I follow you, but one of the craziest things was in this first certification class, you had never done it before, and these were the questions. You ready? Can we wear a red shirt like you,
right,
Jeffrey?
Oh,
and it's
yeah,
like, holy God, the man has just told you to make a brand.
Yeah, do it on
to
yeah,
build your brand. And it's like I said, that's where people mess up. I've learned a tremendous amount, but I'm not Jeffrey Gidmer, and I don't want to be that jersey.
It's taken. It's taken.
Right.
But you still have the opportunity to become the Jerry brand.
Correct.
And it's, you're beyond the chimney.
Well, I think with all these books, he has the Jerry brand.
I mean,
he has Chaos to Reinvention, Standard Operating Procedures, Blue Collar Marketing from Startup to Success.
You know what? I
these
love
are
Blue Collar Marketing.
Right.
It tells you exactly what he does in three words.
This one, the printer messed up, but because it's upside down.
Yep.
But
I love that.
I grew up in a printing manufacturing family, so I see those things right away.
And see, I was an offset pressman for years, so you know exactly what I did. I ran a Heidelberg printing press in Mealy, so you know. Okay.
Oh, cool.
But see, I want to show you something here. I want you to pick it. Look at the Blue Collar Marketing.
Okay.
Do you see there's three authors?
Yes.
Okay. If you look at the Small Business Manual, there's three authors. Mm-hmm. So what I've tried to do is combine my – yeah, that one there. I've tried to combine my expertise with other people's expertise and do well, you know, it's a collaborative type book.
It's
How
called
it
the
work?
Small Business
Would
Owner's Manual, Build Your Dream Business.
Would you rather do it with other people or by yourself?
I prefer, I'm writing a book right now on how to hire, onboard, and train people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing that myself because, to be honest with you, it's easier to do one yourself than it is to do a collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when we did the small business marketing, do you know what the biggest challenge in that was?
I can guarantee you because I've done it with another guy, they don't work as fast as you do.
No, that wasn't the biggest challenge.
Oh.
The biggest challenge, and if you ever write a book, is you got to do a cover.
Oh.
Selecting the cover.
Yeah.
Oh, mine's more about the content because I'm so anal about what goes into a book that collaborating with another author.
Hurry up,
might be
and
dangerous.
What are you talking about this for? This is stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So
or
that's
their
a hard
grammar's
part
off. And that's...
Well, what we did on this was we got together and we did a transcription of it. So we went through a meeting and we would discuss all the topics. And then we actually discussed it and recorded all of this through
Smart.
A full day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a writer come in that put the notes, you know,
oh,
that
that's
assembled
cool.
this.
That's cool.
But writing ghostwriters, to be honest with you, I mean, I used one on another and it's like, this is more work than just write it. Writing it yourself is easier.
My yeah, favorite totally. Cover is Chaos to Reinvention, How to Turn Chaos into Clarity, because it's like, I would imagine that's you, stranded in the middle of the ocean.
Looking like the Statue of Liberty, where's your light?
A dollar. The ship is like an origami kind of dollar.
Look,
it's
right,
so
it's
freaking
dollar.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's so, this one is brilliant.
It is. Well, that's what you look and see. When you look at this, if you look at the cover, we probably made 20 different examples of him with different places where the arm was and even the coloration of his mm-hmm. arm, the coloration of his clothes. Everything was done so it was like a silhouette, the storm, the stormy seas, I'm floating on a dollar bill. So
cool.
there's a... That's the thing about it. In a cover.
And you literally were floating on a dollar bill.
Yeah.
Sometimes I didn't
year.
Have the dollar bill to float on.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, what's really bad, see, I didn't have to get, my wife didn't have to go through bankruptcy. So we had the premarital agreement, and I sold her my manufacturing company, okay? But she had to completely rebrand it. And we were challenged by the bank in federal court that I was underneath this. So... For 2 years, I have no credit cards. I'm working off my wife's credit cards, and you can't. And I'm traveling. You can't rent a car without a
right.
credit card. Okay,
that's correct, sir.
Yeah,
driver's license, credit card, please.
That's
you even
it.
Need a credit card for Uber.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but here's the deal, Jen. Whenever you come out of, you know, whenever you come out of bankruptcy, you get this great deal. Everybody wants you to have a credit card. Your credit card has a $350 limit.
Oh,
right.
Man.
Okay, that's the max you get at this yeah. point till you start building your credit back. So you go through this period of rebuilding. But what you're also, and this is what separates. This is one of the things about failures. Failures can give you so much strength. People are scared of failures. Failures give me, man, when I fail.
Best lessons on the planet.
That's adrenaline, okay, because now that's given me the strength mm-hmm. to move and jump forward, and that's what people got to learn. And that.
Well, what do you recommend to our diehards out there who may be going through a tough time right now?
Going through a tough time, what you got to do, the first thing is you got to take a really hard look in the mirror. There is no one that causes your failure. You are causing your failure in some way, shape, or form.
Or you let it happen.
Or you're letting it happen. What you're scared to do is take a hard look at yourself. I have been fortunate to be able now to mix and mingle with people like Jeffrey and the Larry Wingetts of the world and Randy Pennington and Scott McCain and Suzanne Evans and the list goes on and Damian Mason and you know all these names.
Of course.
That is a vast array of personalities.
Yeah, and yeah. you learn a little from each one.
And you learn a little from each and every one. There's another benefit I have, which is I probably have the best supporter I could ever have and the best cheerleader, and that's in my wife. Because whenever this happened, this is what she said. I want you to do whatever you got to do, and I will do anything in the world to help you get there. Well, now my wife is also a coach now. She's been through – she's a Ziegler coach. She was the 14th cool. Ziegler coach in the world. And but here's the thing about Ziegler. You know, when I talk to them, and I know Tom Ziegler well, and you've met him, mm-hmm. and all this kind of stuff, and Michelle Prince is there. But the whole thing is they'll say, you know, Jerry just doesn't fit the Ziegler stuff. You know,
right.
That would be, and you know, you told me that one time, you know, that you had went, you're Jewish, and you told me that you had traveled to Dallas
oh,
and
yeah.
went to Zig's Sunday school.
Several
class.
Times. Several times.
Yeah. It was because, yeah. and it was from learning.
It's
from
the only
others.
Time you could hear Zig Ziglar give a different speech.
That's pretty cool.
That's true.
It's pretty
he
cool.
gave a different speech every Sunday.
Yeah. But when you look at all this and the more people, and like I said, the whole thing is, and like I said, I've got people working my company, and I've got two Ziegler people. Well, they're Ziegler certified trainers, and Cheryl's a coach, but we did a production one time, and this was their mistake. When they got done, I said, if you ever, ever do that again, you will never appear on my stage.
What'd they do?
They tried to be Zig Ziegler.
Right.
Ooh.
It's just like trying to be Jeffrey Gittimer.
Or Dale Carnegie or Anthony Robbins.
Dale Carnegie or anyone else. One of the things I learned in that class, Jeffrey, and I sat on the back row. Remember? Sat on the back row, and he's up here, and he wasn't casual. And there was a couple times I went back there, and I talked to him, and I said, you know, I'm looking around. Just how many of these people are actually going to be able to be successful in this? And I think that's part of the thing here, and I think that's where our relationship is. I'm working a niche market. I'm working such a small niche market, and I've been able to do it and do it successfully and build a company that does education, and we concentrate in this niche.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back for just 1 second to that platform. When I'm done talking, and you've seen me speak 100 times, when I'm done talking, I talk about the secret of success that I learned through Dale Carnegie's 2 books, How to Win Friends and Influence People, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, because there's a common thread that runs between both books that's the secret of success. Be yourself. And if you cannot be yourself, then you're trying to emulate somebody else, and it doesn't work.
It doesn't.
Because you don't look natural at it. You don't look real at it. And the best way for, you know, you've spent the early part of your life in soot and dirt, literally, and hope the curtain doesn't fall so soot gets all over somebody's white couch, which I'm sure it has. And you're carrying around a vacuum cleaner going, don't worry, lady. And meanwhile, the lady's like ready to faint. but the bottom line is you learned it by being yourself. You weren't trying to be somebody. You weren't trying to be Dick Van Dyke, correct?
No.
No.
And see, he's
a better dancer than you are anyway.
But see, the other thing was we had a real company, Jeffrey. When I talk about being a chimney sweep, what year do you think I stopped cleaning chimneys personally?
Never.
No. 1984.
Wow.
I came off a service truck in 1984 because what I saw was in order to build a business, I had to become a manager. Yeah. So we had a very large company. So when you're talking about that, I'm sitting in an office all day. Mm-hmm. I'm doing sales. I'm running the business. My big mistake was I never knew numbers. Because I didn't need to know numbers. If I needed
there was
more,
always money there. Yeah,
it's always more. If you need more money, ain't no problem. Just contact the bank. I had no idea one day that these guys named Dodd and Frank were going to tell the bank, hey, you got to get all this money back. And all of a sudden, this is what killed our economy.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway.
This is a great story of how you've overcome it. And
inspirational.
And totally inspirational and found a new area to really thrive in and help others.
Right, helping other people, not just by telling them what the success model is, but rather saying, dude, don't step in that pothole.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll break an ankle and you'll spend the rest of your money trying to fix your ankle.
Right. Well, I will tell you, it's like writing Chaos to Reinvention. That was like, and people said, I cannot believe you have opened yourself up, because writing that book was the most emotional thing I ever did in my life.
Yeah.
Because I split myself wide open and said, hey, look at all the mistakes I made. But at the same time, the mission in writing that book was, maybe there's somebody like you that can read this and will make changes in their life. My dream is that nobody suffers what I suffer. But I want to go back to something you said. It's like a Dale Carnegie guy. I can pick a Dale Carnegie guy out. When a guy says my name 7 times in that paragraph, it's like, dude, I applaud you for going to Dale Carnegie, but you're not Dale.
Yeah, this is not natural. Exactly.
Okay, it's not natural. Okay,
right, that's
so
funny. That's funny.
It is.
I've had it happen.
But you ever had it happen? So when did you go to Dale Carnegie?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, my Dale Carnegie was 1972.
Wow.
When I completed the course. Got the pen, got the pin, and I felt like I was a new person. Like I was
you
able
to know something.
What?
I wasn't alive then.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's what makes you. What year was that?
72.
You know, that's what ticks me off. I go to a class, and I'm teaching a class, and this happened a couple of years ago. This really, because I'm talking about, it's an educational class, it's technical. So we're talking about how code changes occurred over the years in chimneys. And I'm talking about 1984, and this, but it was a, this was a magic moment. This kid raised his arm. He said, Jerry, I got a problem. But what's your problem? You're talking about shit that happened before I was born. Well, to be honest with you, this opened my eyes up tremendously. It's just like we said a while ago. When you said that a while ago, well, yeah, believe me, a lot of people don't know that there was a recession. They don't because they were seven at that point.
Right.
And when you look at this, it's also affected a lot of the younger people, and they say that this recession is one of the things that millennials have buried in their minds because they watched their parents fail. Mm-hmm. So it actually has this deep-seated thing here of the failure that's happened in life, and it's the cause of why their personalities are there.
The parents have come back, and the mother is now paying that kid's phone bill. and I think that's what's wrong with the millennials.
Yeah, but the millennials don't want to fall into that same way. And I respect
well, they don't.
That.
Well, it's like I've got, you know, I do a podcast. You were a guest on my podcast, and I've got a producer just like you've got one. So we're sitting here, and he does some radio production. So we're doing the radio show, Ray Terry Show, Saturday morning, and Steven's over there, and we're and he says, "Well, I'm just a kid." It's like, Stephen, how old are you? Well, I'm 26. You're not a kid. And see, that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
I want to be a kid. You can't be a kid. You got to grow up. And when you talk about what happened to me, that was a tremendous grow up. Because what happened was, I'll be honest with you, I had the greatest mother in the world. I could do no wrong. I was a shit ass. If she knew all the things that I really did, but she would tell everybody how great I was. Yeah. And she should have said, you know, you really suck, need to get your act together. And she helped feed the frenzy because she worked at the bank where I got all my money.
Ooh.
Ooh. Well, there all you right. darn go.
Well, this has been awesome. Thank you for coming on
We
our
will
show.
Have you back again to talk about your coaching business, because I want to talk about how coaches actually work with people and how you can take a blue-collar approach to it, which you do, and turn a $100 sale into a $10,000 sale and do it on a regular basis.
Well, let's add one more thing in on blue-collar. This is one of the problems out there. Kids today and millennials have been schooled that they've got to go to college to get ahead in life. And this is one of the biggest fallacies. Do you realize how many blue-collar workers in Charlotte, North Carolina, are making six figures?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the answer is most of them.
Correct.
So, and you're going to see, by the way, the resurgence of voc schools and trade schools over the course of the next four years, maybe more, because they actually train people to get a job. The community college here, Central Piedmont, has built its reputation on training people for the real world. Mm-hmm. Whether it's adults at night or kids during the day, they focus on getting a job when you're finished your college education, and that's what's going to happen. You'll see a resurgence in that.
Well, anytime I can come back, hey, I'm welcome. I'm really a kind of quiet guy. I don't have a whole lot to say.
I don't
drag it out on me.
You make our jobs tough. Yeah. Hey, where can people get these books on Amazon?
Amazon. What you do is go to Amazon, just go to search bar. The best way to find an author's books, type their name in, because then the whole thing will come up.
We're going to put all of your books and links to them in our show notes on sellerdiepodcast.com. So if you just go there, click on Jerry Eisenhower's episode, you'll be able to find all the books.
And I appreciate that. And it's not about book selling. It's about the value. In fact,
I want them to learn your story.
Right. Well, here's
the
whole thing. This book, I believe so strongly in the value of this book that anyone...
It's called Standardizing
Standard Operating Procedures. And it's my eight-step process. But here's the whole thing. I will give anyone that would like a copy a free ebook of this, okay?
Oh, cool.
And that's no charge, because I feel that's why I wrote this book.
On your website?
All they got to do is email me and say, hey, will you send me that free book? And it's on its way to them.
And right, we'll put Jerry's email address in the show notes.
The only issue with these books are they're not signed, so we'll have to fix that after.
There'll be a signing party once we sign off.
Well, I tell you what, you know, when I walked in here as an altar, that was one of the things, because when I come up, I've been here a couple times, right? So I hit the button, let me in. And then I go in and I get some coffee and I look over there, and there's this, and this is what makes an author feel really downtrodden. I see Jeffrey's table, the signing table, and there's stacks of books this high. And I said, I bet this is the signing table it is. And I'm thinking, good God. but it is. You know, that's impressive. Yeah. And it's cool. Really, I'm going to tell you guys, he's a Yankee, but he's got a lot of knowledge. Listen to these guys.
There's a but, not an and.
Exactly. The first bumper sticker I saw when I moved to Charlotte now 30 years ago was, we don't care how the hell you do it up north.
That's very true.
Thank you, Jerry, for being here.
Thank you, and I appreciate it. It's an honor and it's a privilege. It really is to be here with you guys.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.